Okay, we finished up yesterday on the on Daf Hey with the issue of whether we would make a statement if Migo the Choshid of Mamona, Choshid Nami Ashvuato, that if someone is Choshid on the Mamona, how do we let him take a Shvua? Should be Choshid also to take the Shvua? And the Gemara says, no, that we don't say that Lo Amrinam, Migo the Choshid of Mamona, Choshid Ashvuato. We don't say that if you're Choshid on Mamona, then you automatically are Choshid on Shvuato. Because if you don't say that, we're going to run into a number of problems. So the Gemara is going through problem by problem that it's introducing about if we allowed for that to have some sort of connection between the Choshid HaMamon and Choshid Shvuot, that would be the problem. So far, the Gemara has answered up in each instance, right, that there is some sort of justification for the Choshid HaMamona. The person somehow is justifying their position in violating the Isur of Gezel or the Isur of Lachtalach Mos, in their mind they feel justified about that, but that would not lead them to take a Shvuat Sheker. Now the Gemara is going to run into some obstacles, and that starts on top of Bava Menalos. The Lahadar of Nachmon, right, the principle of Rav Nachmon that we've seen before, Mashpino to Shvuat Hesed, right, that he takes a Shvuat Hesed, he takes a Shvuat when he's a Koker Bakol, or when he says any Yodea, and he takes a Shvuat to that effect. Meima, let us say, Migo the Choshida Mamona, Choshida Shvuata. I say that now, because he's Choshid on the Mamon, then he's Choshid on the Shvua. So in this case, right, because, what's the problem over here? What's Rav Nachman's principle comes to mitigate, or it comes to almost deal with the issue of Rabba? Rabba says, Vekofra Kol, Ein Adam Me'iz Panav, V'Snei Bal Kuvo. Right, that person is not Me'iz Panav, they deny the whole thing. And what is Rav Nachman's Shavua coming to do? Rav Nachman's coming to deal with a situation in which the individual does Meiz Panav. He is Meiz Panav. He goes in, he's Kofer HaKol. And now we find out what? That he's not, or we suspect him of not telling the truth. If we suspect him of not telling the truth in this instance, there's really no justification for his position. Right? Because you don't, if he wouldn't be Meiz Panav, he was really trying to be Ishtimute Ishtimate. That's what the Rashi says. Right? Rashi says the top of your name amigo, the Me'iz Panav Likfor, Hakol, Lav Lishtemute boy. Right? He's not coming to be Ishtemute because he's a Kofer Bakol. That's Rabbah's position. So therefore here we have a case of Choshid HaMamona. And if you would say Choshid HaMamona, Choshid HaShavuata, then how could someone who was Kofer Bakol ever take a Shwa? He's Me'iz Panav. We're Choshid him. When he is Meiz Panav, that he's not telling the truth, that's the case, that would we believe is Shavua. So it must be that we don't create this connection, we disengage the Choshid HaMamon from the Choshid HaShavuata. That's one. Vidu, Ada Tani Rav Chiya. What about Rav Chiya? Shneim Nishvaim V'Notzim Mi'Balabayit. Right, this is the principle, we saw this case a couple of times, where the Poalim and the Chenvani both said that they, the Poalim said we never got anything, the Chenvani says I paid it out. So what's the din? The din is that the Poalim take a Shua, the Chenvani takes a Shua, and the Baal Bayit pays to both of them. So it says, Nehem Amigo the Choshid HaMamona. Over there, right, there is Choshid HaMamona, yet we're still taking them, or having them take a Shua. Because we know for certain that someone is not telling the truth over here. So there is definitely a Choshid HaMamona over here. And yet we still say, take a Shvua. So the Gemara says, Migo the Choshid HaMamona, Choshid HaShvuato. So that way, and Bitu, in other cases, Hadam Rav Sheshet. Right, this is the third case now that we're bringing. We have no explanation. If we were to say, Choshid HaMamona is Choshid HaShvuato, this would be the third case where we can't explain it. Which is, Amar Rav Sheshet, Shalosh Shvuot, Mashbin Oto. This is the Shomer, we have him take three Shvuot. Shua shlo pashatiba. Shua that I didn't, that there was no pshi'a on it. Shua shlo shalachti bayad. Shua that I didn't grab it or I didn't touch it, I didn't use it. Shua shena birshuti. And shua that's not in my possession. So these are the shua that he wasn't posheya ba, because that's his requirement. As a shomer, he's not allowed to be posheya. If he's posheya, then he is chayav. What's the issue by Shalachti Bayad? Shalach Yad is a Gazman. Right? He's someone who stole from the Balabait. He's supposed to use the Hikadon that's left by him. So Rashi says that if he Shalach Bayad, Havi Gazman Aleh. Umechaye Bonsei. So then he becomes chayv in the onesim. It doesn't matter that afterwards the animal died because of an ones. Something happens to the animal that he is otherwise patur for as a shomer. Nevertheless, once he's been shaleach yad, then he becomes a gazlan. He's chayav no matter what. So he has to take a shuvah that he wasn't shaleach yad in order to for us to know that he really has the patur of, for instance, shomachinam gnev and aveda. It wouldn't apply if he was a gazlan. It wouldn't apply to him anymore because he's been a chayv in onesim. And shuvah sheni b'shuti, the less shuvah that it's not in my possession. Right, so that we don't have the guy, right, wanting it and paying for it, or somehow, you know, keeping it in his possession, being gonevit. So we ask him to take a shvash in a bishuti, that it's not in my possession. So, Tosus points out that when it comes to shlichut yad, right, he disagrees a little bit with Rashi. He says that when it comes to shlichut yad, he says if he puts it back, he would be patur. Right, so Rashi over here just says blanket statement, we shall echva yad. Then it becomes the ones, he's chayav. So, apopi, right, so says, you have zero patur. Even though when if he returns it, then he would be patur in that instance. But maybe the case is that the ones happened before he returned it, or something happened prior to he returned it. Now, Tosfos wants to know if it's really true that we take all these shvuot, or these shvuot always apply. Because he says, he brings a case from later on in the Masechta, which it says, for nishbaro nishba, en roe, ha yesh roe, yavi raya, vi pater, v'ha shema shalach vayad. So Tosfos says that the Gemara later on seems to indicate that if the shomer brings Edim to the fact that there was an onet, then he wouldn't have to take a shvuah. But why then does he not have to take the shvuah of shlichut yad? It's true, there is an onus here. And an onus is pulled there him, for instance, the Shomer Tzachar, if he brings Edim. So that'll get rid of the issue of Peshatiba. That'll get rid of the issue, maybe, of Shein B'Shuti. But it doesn't get rid of the problem of Shlichut Yad. Because Shlichut Yad says that even when there is an onus, I am Chayav, because I was Shlech Vayad, I become responsible for the item. So it also says, how come the Gemara makes a blanket statement that all the Shavuot and Shomrim are gone when it comes to the fact that he brings Edim? So Tosfos gives two answers to this, which is interesting. He says, "Yesh lomar shipater mishvah shenetzah, ach ishava shalosh lach vayad." One possibility is yes, in Ochanami, that the shluvah of shluchot yad remains. Right? Meaning, we say that he brings the edim, it eliminates the shluvah that relate to ones and peshatiba because that's what they're addressing. But it doesn't get rid of the issue of shluchot yad, and then he does have to take that shluvah. Or inami. It's interesting that the shlichut yad shvuah is not a standalone shvuah. It's not a shvuah that he would take unless there's another shvuah that's there. If there's another shvuah that's there, like shalosh pashatiba, then we'll be magalgel on him shlichut yad. So then, if yeshu esh and enta, patur the gamre. So if there is a dim that there was an onet. Since we don't have the imposition of the other shvuot on the shomer, we also will not impose upon him the shvuah of shlichut yad. The last thing is, Rabbi Deinu Tam Meforish, the afilo yedei gilgul lo yishava hecha shehi meita b'saneinu. If the animal is before us, sitting before us, we won't take the shvuah, even yedei gilgul, de'ein megalgalin v'davar hadomeh. It's an interesting concept here. And when we talk about, we just saw before, when the Gemara mentions it in Sota, mentions the idea of Gilgul Shuvah, we just say, alright, once you open the door, let's put anything in there. So it says, no, Rabbi Yonatan says, no. That Gilgul Shuvah has to have some relationship between the Shuvah that you're taking and the Shuvah that you're being Milgalgel over here. Right? He says, the Lama Yislamar, the Shalakho Yad, the Dafka B'Shutvim. That only when you're talking about Shutvim, we're talking about partners, Shukhalku, that divided up their property. Right, there we are Megalgel Shvuah. If they have another Shvuah, we're Megalgel Shvuah of Shloshalach Bayad. Why? Because over there, they're Morei Hetera. I worked in the partnership. It's really my money. Then before we say, wait a minute, did they really divide it? Did they do something right? Then take a Shvuah about the division, about whether you did things wrong along the way. But over here, Shvuah Shloshalach Bayad, the first time, Shvuah Achlah, then we'll be Chlal Shvuah Shloshalach Bayad, Mashiach Bishuto. It would seem from the Bein Otam, right, by Sota, that the Mishnah only gives examples of Shavuot that are irrelevant, right?
Some of them are saying that, like, by
Yeah, but there, right, so there, there is relevance because she's Mar Hetera and things like that. Then
there,
we
is, right.
So where there's relevance to the Shavu'ah, to the situation that we're talking about, then we say, take this Shavu'ah. There's no relevance, he says, the Shalach Pashatiba, or Eina B'shuti, right, then there's really no relevance to Shalach Tibayad. And therefore you can't have a Gilgul Shavu'ah, Shalach Tibayad, when you're talking about Shavu'ot that don't have any relevance to it. So it has to be able to stand on its own. If it can't stand on its own, right, then there is no Shavu'ah. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Tam.
This is the first question that the Gemara is asking. What would the Gemara consider and it was from the current version, what would the Gemara consider a Shavu'ah that is not suspect?
That on the previous Talmud, which is we had cases of suspicion, but yet we could justify their position. If we could justify their position, we could say that they are maybe not, maybe they are Fashud or suspect about the money, but they would never then take the step forward to take a Shavu'ah Sheker because the reason that they are doing this is because they have some sort of ishtemut ishtemate, mor hetera. Things that allow them or in their mind to justify their position when it comes to mamon, even though it's wrong. It is wrong, but it justifies the position, then they wouldn't do a take a Shavu'ah Sheker over here. The three last cases we brought, we have no justification for their position. They're clearly stealing. Right? If they're clearly stealing, then we say there's really a suspicion if they're clearly stealing that what? That they would take a Shavu'ah Sheker. Right, right. So they are really, they're stealing. And therefore there we say Shavu'ah Sheker. So there we have to separate. We have to some way bifurcate between the Chashad al Mamona and the Chashad al Shavu'ata. And again, we still have what we said in Tosfos yesterday. If they actually did steal, right, then we have to be, then there is a suspicion. Either because Midir Rabbanan, or maybe even Mina Torah, that once a person is a Gazlan already, then we have to question whether this Shavu'ah is meaningful to that person. Again, here by the case of the Shavu'ot of the Po'alim and the Chenvani, we're talking about before the fact. We're asking them to take the Shavu'ah. The Shavu'ah is a preventative measure. We're asking them to take the Shavu'ah in order to assure us that they're really taking the truth, or they're willing to go that far. Our hope is that they won't take the Shavu'ah if they are lying. But if you know they're Gazlanim already, then why wouldn't they take the Shavu'ah? They're already someone who does not care about doing what's wrong. And therefore we're going to say, listen, their Shavu'ah is also suspect. All right, now, the Gemara continues. So the Gemara says, "Lo amrinan migo de chashidamo na chashida shvuata." So it must be the conclusion is that there is no connection, there's no correlation between the chashida mamona and the chashida de shvuata. So that's the solution right to this all these cases over here. Abaye amar, Abaye offers an alternative pshat. Abaye amar chashinan shema milva yeshana yeshalav. Right, that he has an old loan that is involved here. So these two guys are coming to grab this object, right? They're both holding on to it. And then we're asking them to take a Shavu'ah over here. Rabbi Yochanan said, why do we ask them to take a Shavu'ah over here? Rabbi Yochanan said, take a Shavu'ah because we don't want to call Echad Be'echad Yavo, right? Vito Mechaber. Everybody will come and grab onto it. Right? And therefore we have to say that Migo, we don't say Chashad HaMamon is Chashad HaShavu'ata. He says, no, I'll tell you what the issue is here. Problem is here, is that this guy has a old loan that's outstanding with him, and therefore he is justified in grabbing this object, he thinks he's justified in grabbing this object. So, so why shouldn't he take without a Shavu'ah? He has this old, he's really almost justified in his position over here. Why? Because he has this old loan that's outstanding, because his old loan that's outstanding, he really does, he could be selfish. So what's the problem here? Elokashinan Shema Safek milva yeshana yeshlo alav. The problem is what? Not that he's certain that there's a milva, but it's safek. He has some doubts for things he remembers or something that he has owes the money. So he says,
"Alav." But
it's just safek. You wouldn't be mechayev shuah. Oh, so alav amrina mitzvah mitzveka mishtav nami mitzafek. Right, that willing to take the money mitzafek, and that he's willing to say, "You have an old loan outstanding. I think you owe me money." And everybody's willing to grab this object and keep it, why wouldn't he take a Shavu'ah to that effect? Why, if he feels in his own mind that he's justified in his position to take the money because he thinks there might be some money outstanding, why wouldn't he feel okay about taking the Shavu'ah regarding the Safek? I mean, this concept of the old bone is making or mobile him, brings him to the ability, or gives him the ability, or justifies in his mind to take the money, then he should also want to take a Shavu'ah Sheker. So Amar Sheish is Reid Ravidi. Parshi Inche Misafik Shavu'ah. Hello, Parshi Anche Misafik Mamona. People avoid Safik Shavu'ot But they do not avoid Safek Mamona. Why not? My time up. Mamon Ite Bechazara. Mamon can be returned. Shua Lete Bechazara. Can't return to Shua. Right? So, around the idea of Mamon, right, is Imlo Yizkor. Right? If you won't remember, Tosfos at least formulates it this way. I would have read it simply, but Tosfos points out the problem with this. I would have read it simply. What does it mean that Safek Mamon Nitan Bechazara? I would remember, oh, the guy, if he took it incorrectly, in the end, he'll remember, he'll give it back to him. Right? So Tosfos says that can't be the case. Right? Why? It says, Imlo Yizkor, Tosfos says it has to be this way, that Imlo Yizkor, if he doesn't remember it, Yafzir, Belayek Venom, it's a fake. He wouldn't hold it on to it from Safek. Aval in the Koresh, don't explain, like I just did, Imzkor, Shenu Chayav, Lo Yafzir. Then wait until he remembers that he's not Chayav, then he'll give it back to him. Why? Aval Imlo Yizkor, Yek Venom. And then if he doesn't remember, he would keep it. Avapishyadeh shalo yizkor. Oh, even though he won't remember anymore. Dim kain, gam yisafek shvalo yisrosh. In that case, he won't keep the safek. Meaning that if he's willing to keep the money yisafek, he'll also take a shvam yisafek. It says, when do we say that he won't take a shvam yisafek? When he, in his own mind, says, if I don't remember that there's a loan here, I'm going to give the money back. Because in that case, we know the guy's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to do the right thing. He wants to remember there's a loan. He takes the money and he says, if I don't remember, I'm giving it back to him. But if I do remember that it's right, then I'll keep it, but otherwise I'm going to give it back. But if he kept it, even though there's a fake, and he'll never know, that means that he's willing to take the money when he's not sure about it. That's the case, right? Then we suspect him of also taking a shvami safek according to Tosfos. So that's the simple way that I would have explained it, but a little more complex way of explaining it, that here the person's really out to do the right thing. If he's out to do the right thing, then we don't suspect him of taking a shvuat. Check it.
So if I have this position is that in principle we do say that someone was special with the first thing of those rules. In this case we focus more because we suspect the following. The thing that the person had is a different motivation.
Well, they recreate the context. The context is specific Milton.
Does the person make such a kind of?
Well, that's what he's in his mind, that's why he's doing it. But we want to understand why the Chachamim forced the Shavua over here. Why did they force the Shavua in this case? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Shavua is forced because we suspect people showing up and just grabbing things, which is a very, it seems to be a much more far-fetched situation. And we're worried about people just showing up and grabbing things from people, so we force the Shavua. My sister says it's not such a crazy case. People only grab things when they feel justified.
Right.
People only grab things when they're justified. So if they're justified, then why are we making take a Shavua? But they're justified because they kind of think they remember. So they have some justification, but not a full justification to their position. But at least it makes, in your mind, it makes more sense about what's happening in the case over here, why somebody would come and just grab someone else's property. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a blanket, we worry about the world coming and taking things. Right? But he says, no, we worry about people who feel justified about doing it, and that's why we suspect them of coming, so therefore we impose the Shavua on them.
The original case was that, you know, where someone creates a justification in their mind.
That is the case. So that's what Tosfos says over here. Very good. So then, how did Abaye answer up the cases of Shlosh Shavuot, the Rav Sheish said, or the other cases of the Poalim and the Chenvani? Tosfos says exactly that. He says Nishvaim Nosim Nami Chashin and Shem Milva Yishana Yeshuvalav. That's what Tosfos says. Abaye is going to explain all these cases as the cases of Chashash. That the reason that these people are willing to make a claim against the Baal HaBayis is not because they really owe the money this time, but because he owed them money in the past. Or they think he owed them money in the past, and therefore they're using this as an excuse to extract the money that he owes them. And that's exactly why we impose the Shavua on all these cases according to Abaye. Ain't no Kanami, right? That's exactly what we're going to say. Alright. Boy Rabbi Zeira. Tafa echad difanenu mahu. Right, so if one of them grabs it in front of us, what do we say? Meaning that we had two guys holding onto it, and then we watch one of the guys basically strong arm the other guy out, and he takes the whole thing. So they can tell me, what's the case? He's a shadik. If the other party is silent here in the face of this being taken away from him, then Oduye. He's basically admitting that it belongs to the other guy. Viz Kazavach, if he's screaming, it's mine, my have a meva. What could he do? He's not strong enough to keep it, but he's saying it's mine. So what else could he ask him to do? So what's the question here about the case, about strong-arming it away from him?
Well, the first part, if
you're standing
in front of the judges,
what
would you assume that the guy figures, look, I'm in court over here, they're not
going to
let anything get away with this?
Right, but he should at least say something. We're going to see in a case with your concept in a second. Lo, he's silent at first, and then he begins to scream about it. My, midishtik odruye odile, maybe because he was silent, right? That means that that brings it, that's the equivalent to an admission. Oh, Dilma, came into tzava chashto, now that he's screaming, iglai milta, died the shakumi akara, why was he silent in front? Tzava hadaka kazule rabonon. The reason he was originally silent was because he saw the rabbanon were watching them, right? So now he comes to court and he says, "Listen, that's mine. It's really mine." So why were you silent before? You guys were watching it. Exactly what you were saying. You guys are standing here and watching it. You guys are standing and watching it. I didn't feel a need to scream about it. You saw what just transpired in front of us. Right. I'm bringing proof. When is this case true? Shishnei Madukimba. If it's, they're both holding on to it. If one of them is holding the talit, then a motzi min chaveru. We don't know about grab anything now. This is all we know from Rav Nachman so far is that if both of them come to court, that's the case here. But if one of them shows up in court with the talit, a motzi min chaveru alav haraya. The one who is trying to remove it from this person's possession is a raya. Hey chitami. What's the case? Right now, this is what Soviet Jewish you are suggesting, but here's the case. Hey chitami. E neima dekitkani. Right, if it's exactly like it's written in with the statement of Nachman, Pshita, what's the question here? We know that Amosi Mechaveru Alav Araya. If one guy shows up with the talit in court, why should the other guy have any claim? If he has a claim here, fine, bring Eidut, bring some sort of proof to that. Ela Shetakvar Chad Bifaneinu. Must be, like David you explained, one of them grabbed it away in front of the other, like our case here. So if that's the case, Tachvar Chad Bifaneinu, we have an answer to our question. What? It becomes Amosi Mechaveru Alav Araya. We don't listen to him anymore. If he grabs it, b'faneinu, then we just assume that it belongs to the great. So when I says lo, how come I skin on? Come to other the command, kitzvisi lehu tarvayu. Came before us, they're both holding it. Vermina lehu zilu plugo. They said, go split it. Benachku, so they go out of court. V'chadar atu, ki tafis lechad minahu. They're back in court again, and one of them is holding on to it. Right? Hi, Amar, oduye, odili. The guy who's holding on it says he admitted it was really mine. So that's why I'm back here with it myself. V'hayamar b'dmei agarti niale. He says, I rented it to him. Right? That he paid me money. I said that he would pay me for it. I said, alright, you take it for right now and you'll pay me for my half. So Damrina lay, so what does the judge say to him? Wait a minute. Al hashto chashat slay b'gazlan. Until now, you thought this other guy's a gazlan because you said kulishali, and this guy's the guy who's holding on. So you think he's a gazlan for taking the half? And now you're renting it to him without aiding? I mean, what type of guy are you? What type of trust? You don't believe, for 5 minutes ago you didn't believe him when you were in court, and now all of a sudden you're trusting him to walk off with the item and give you rent? So now you're out of luck. You lost it yourself. Right. You're out of luck. I'm mostly mechaver alav araya because this case does not seem logical. It does not make a lot of sense. Your claim doesn't make a lot of sense. Some say no.
So what was the conclusion of that?
It's actually, we have no proof to takfa from this because this case of takfa is an unusual case. It's not simply takfa b'fanenu, but a case where they split it and then they come back with takfa and the guy makes a claim which we don't see as a strong enough claim. It's not a claim that we're going to believe him. So it's not the same case that we're looking for an answer to. Avi b'dema kidiktani. No. Explain this case of Rav Nachman exactly as it's written. They come before us when one of them is holding it. The other one's like, he's got the little ends of it. He's like wrestling with it, clinging onto it by the edge. He doesn't have a full grip on it, he's like clinging onto it. In general, when it's Mamana Mutabu Safek, then we say that you split it without a Shuah. Sumchus agrees that when it comes to it's like hanging onto the edge of it, that is not considered enough of a holding. And therefore, when we say that's like one of them has the majority, it's the full position over here, the other guy is like hanging over to like the little corner, that's not enough to justify his position or to make him the second party to this object where he's going to take a shavuah about that half of it. Now, so the Gemara has no conclusion from Rav Nachman's statement so far. Now, the Gemara has a question. In Tim Salomar, if you want to say, therefore, if we say that someone who grabs it, right, and then, right, we take it out of his hands, I mean, we don't let him keep it. We say, going back and split it between them, then, if he was makdishit before he was tokefit, then Eino Mikudesh, it doesn't work. The Kedushin, the Hekdesh that he uses with it does not work. Why? Because if we're willing, when he holds the whole object, to take it away from him and split it between them, that shows what? That there isn't enough ownership, there's not enough control over this object, that he can go be tokev, he can be matnish the item and take it away from the other party. On the other hand, if we believe that when he grabs it from the other party, we do not remove it from his hand, he keeps it, then right, if he's magdish it without strong arming it, what's the din? Right, that speaking in hetesh, verbalizing something, the equivalent of taking action or kinyan between parties. So therefore, command to talk for them. It's as if he grabbed it. I mean, you can grab things in different ways. You can either grab the whole thing by actually physically taking it, or I can grab it by being magdish it, because my amira is equivalent to tokay. Oh. In the end, he wasn't okay to it. So if he's not okay to it, v'chtiv, ishki akdish et beito kodesh, ma beito b'shuto, av ko b'shuto. L'fugiai, v'lo b'shuto. Here it's not his reshut. I mean, it might be his, he might own it, but he lacks reshut, he lacks control over it. His lack of control over it might prevent him from being able to making it kodesh. So what do we say? Does kodesh act like tokay that he grabs it away? Or is kodesh missing something? What is that? It's missing the ability. Kodesh has an additional requirement of not only being able to grab it or own it, but also to have control. And here you lack that control. Right now, obviously, Tosafot points out here, but Kishab lo tokfa ma'u, it's Myri Nami Gon Shashatok Peshat Higdish, right? That he had to be silent. The other party has to be silent when he's Makdish. But he's Makdish, the other guy says, no, it's mine, you can't be Makdish. Then obviously it's the same as Tokfa. It's okay if we said before, if he screams and says it's mine, then the tokay doesn't have right, power. We said the only time the tokay has power is when he's silent, because then we say modeh. So also here, if he's magdishit, right, and then he's silent, then we worry about it. If he then all of a sudden shows up by the gizbar and says, oh no, it's mine, he can't be magdishit, that'll be the equivalent case of our tokay here.
Well, so assuming that he is 50% possession when the guy is protesting, what about, in the end, 50% is
going
to belong to the guy who's being
my bishop.
So is 50% of it
fresh? I mean, his 50%, right. It sounds like his 50% would be. That he has control and ownership over, I think it would be my bishop. All right, now the Gemara says, Tashma, Dahum Supta, there was this bathhouse, right? Dahavu Manasu Alei Beitre. Two guys were arguing over it. Two people argued over whether who owned the bathhouse. Hi, I'm RTD. Who? Vaya Martidiu, each one of them said, it's mine. One of them got up, Akdisha. And it's Makdisha. So our case, basically, right? Our case is that there are two guys fighting over a bathhouse, nobody's okay with this, and he's Makdisha. Here's our question. Below Tatva, okay, so we don't have to okay, and he's Makdisha. Does he have the ballot? Does he overcome his friend by being Makdisha?
How can he talk if in the
you can't, so I'm saying, so that, but here, the question is, by low tokev, what's the din here? Because tokev is mareh on us, right? But hi, Amar Dizay. He says, Kam Chad Minav Akdisha, Parshim Minav Rav Chananya, Rav Oshia, Rav Klu Rabbanon. They stopped going to this bathhouse. They were afraid that it was Akdish, and therefore they stopped going to this bathhouse. Vamalei Rav Oshia, the Rabbo. So Rav Oshia says, Rabbi, Ki Azal Kameh Rav Chista, the Kafre, when you go to Rav Chista and Kafre, Ba Minay, right, ask him what we should do about this case. He asked of the Surah, when he got to Surah on his way there to Kalbrei, the Amalei Rav Amnuna, he was trying to go to Rav Chista, and so he stopped on the way, and he gets an answer from Rav Amnuna, which is, Matnitani, it's a Mishnah. Your question is a Mishnah. Safek Bechorot. You have a Safek about a Bechor. Safek about an animal that's born, meaning that whether it's Bechor Adam, Bechor Behema, which means that we don't know if the woman gave birth before, or the animal had given birth before, but we're not sure of the item that came out beforehand. It was a miscarriage. We're not sure if the miscarriage was a nafel, it was already formed enough fetus, that it's actually the petarechem, and therefore whoever comes after them is not the bechor. Or, do we say that whatever came out before was not yet a fetus, and therefore, the first petarechem is the behema, the next one that came out, or the child that came out afterwards. That's called a suffix, bechor. Echad bechor adam, echad bechor behema, ben teorim, ben temim, whether they come from tahor, meaning tahor animals, ben temim, who's the animal that has who's tamei, that has a bechor, to whom is a petarechem chamor, that's a chamor. Okay, the first one chamor. Hamotzi mechaveiro, alav hara'aya. So whoever wants to take the animal over there is going to have to bring proof. Betani alav, we said it there, atzurim b'giza u'ba'avodan. Despite the fact that it's hamotzi mechaveiro alav hara'aya, we still say that the giza and avodah are atzurim. So here we have equivalent of question whether there's hekdesh or not. We say hamotzi mechaveiro alav hara'aya. We say that doesn't necessarily, the kohen doesn't automatically get to come and take it. Yes. Right? Yes. The balim have to be careful about the giza and avodah. So too by the bathhouse. So even though maybe the hekdesh, we're not sure if the hekdesh went through or not, over there it said the same thing. So it's a parshi rabbanan, they can't use it. We should be suspicious of that. The Amar, in our case over here, Takfok Kohen, in Mutzino Tomiyado. Right, over here, in our case, we said, we also say that if the Kohen goes and grabs it, we don't take it away from him.
Right?
Alright, in the case of Bechor, if the Kohen goes and grabs it, we do not take it away from him.
Although he's not allowed to, because right. He has to bring the proof.
He shouldn't be taking it. If he does grab it, then we switch it. That's what the Gemara says. When it says the Muslim Mechaber Lavaraya, the Mishnah seems to indicate that either the Kohen or the Balim, whoever is holding it, the other party is the Muslim Mechaber Lavaraya. So over here we say what? Takfa. If he grabs it, then it's his. And a Muslim Mechaber Lavaraya. Even though there's a safek, if he's still caping, we say a Muslim Mechaber Lavaraya. Despite that, we still say there are suspicions of Giza and Avodah. So even though Takfa works, in a case of, right, lotakfa, where they're makdishit, or where we have a safek, right, we have a safek about the animal, we say, biporesh, we're suspicious about the ekdesh. Mar says, v'chi lotakfu, when he's not so kefit, a serim b'gizav oda. And yet, when he's not so kefit, right, then we are serim b'gizav oda. So that's exactly our case over here. Our case is a bay masuta, they have two parties that are arguing about it, right, and, if one of them held it, one of them did something, we'd say Motei Chaver Valaya, but yeah, it's here, they don't. So they're both arguing about it, and it's a case of Lo Takfa, and it's Makdishit. It's Lo Takfa and Makdishit, what do I have here? I have exactly that case in Bechor. Case where if you were so capable, if you're able to get possession of it, then it'll be a Motei Chaver Valaya. Here, a case of Lo Takfa by the Kohen, what do we say? The Giza and the Voda are a Surim. We suspect, we worry about the Hekdesh of the Bechor.
The verses over here, it's in the case where the Kohen grabs it,
right.
And then it's so the source of the word and is this ever going to be worded as a problem?
No, it's something you have to wait for a moment.
It's never going to be asked.
Wait for a moment. Yeah, because it's something maybe cool and not zara. You can't do it.
So
Amalei Rabo.
What? The Dush is a little different because he has to be magnitude.
Oh, so that's a Gemara's answer. Very good. Amalei Rabo. Dush at Bechor Karmark? You're comparing our case to Kedushat Bechor. Right? The case is different. Now, if the coin grabbed it, we would be Motsino. Even if we believe by Tokes that we removed it from the hand of the Kohen, and so that would be in our previous Amud, we said, if we know that we grab it away, then Hektesh wouldn't work for sure. Nevertheless, you'd be Asurim Gizah and Voda. So even if we would say, but Tafo Kohen, we remove it, give it back to the Baalim, despite that fact, I would still say Gizem Avodah is Asurim here, because what's different? Why? The Kedusha Bameleh are shiny. That's exactly right. If Bechor has the Kedusha that it's inherent, so it comes automatically. We don't need other parties to impose the Kedusha here. When you try to get outside parties imposing Kedusha over here, then we need to know that there's ownership or control in order to be imposed the Kedusha. Over here, the Kedusha is self-imposed. It comes because of the Bechor that exists. So since the Bechor exists already, right, then the Kedusha will be there whether you like it or not. Doesn't matter what ownership or not ownership you have. The Safek itself generates the problem that there might be Hekdesh over here.
That
it's Kodesh and Kodesh, right? That's the Avamir. Where it says no, that's not exactly alike. Zamalei Reb Chananya, the Rabbo. Tanya the Mesayelach. That's a price that supports your position over here. That what? Asfeko, Nichnasim, Ledir, Lehit Aser. So when it comes to Maaser, right, the Sfekot, go into the court, into the corral to be counted in the matzer. If you think when the coin grabs it, we don't take it away from him, why do they go into the deer? I mean, if the coin can take it and then hold on to it, I mean that we allow him to keep it, that means that the coin has some justified ownership over here. If he has some justified ownership in the animal that we suspect is the Bechor, then it's Mamona coin. It's a Mamona Kohen, what are you doing? You're doing Ma'aser over here. You're taking a Ma'aser, and this animal comes out as the 10th animal, then that's going to be your maaser on your animals. So you're using the coin's money to be your maaser. He's using the moment of the coin to be his maaser over here. So it must be, what? That if Tatfo Kohen, we give it back to the Baalim. There is it. Because that, Motim Yotum Yedos. Therefore, the coin doesn't really have real ownership over here. And therefore, you can use it as maaser. Right? He says, well, if that's the case, that's not a real proof. Why? He has only 9 animals, plus the Safek Bechor. So now if he has 9 animals plus the Safek Bechor, the Monof Shach. This animal belongs to the Hekdeshwe. E Bar Chiyuvah Shaper Kamaser. If he's a Bar Chiyuvah, meaning that this animal is Kulin, does not belong to the Kohen, right? And therefore it is Shapir Mekama Aser. Therefore when he puts it through his corral, this Balim, who owned the animal, when they put it through the corral, the Kohen doesn't have it, then he's the Aksiri, and he really is Chayav Maser in this case. On the other case, what? If he is not, right, if it belongs to the Kohen, it really is a Bechor, then he doesn't have 10, he only has 9, and he's not a Bar Chiyuva when it comes to the Aksiri.
But this animal belongs to the Mizbeach.
But it belongs to the Mizbeach. Right, La Bar Yisri, and who? So if it's not, then he's not using the, right, he's not using the Mizbeach Kohen to be Poter himself. So that's not, right, either way, he's okay over here, and it'll still remain a Motim Mechaver Olav Araya. Right, because it'll be Mafrish to Ma'aser, right, and if he's Mafrish to Ma'aser, it'll still be Motim Mechaver Olav Araya. So, Hadar Maravai, Lav Milti Hidamre. He says, what I suggested, my answer is not a good answer. Why? Because the principle is a Sfeik Olav Ba'asurehi. When it comes to a Sfeik, you can't make him into a Suri. So over here, the case here says a Sfeik, we don't make him do we can't put him through into the maaser. It's not. We have a case. Kafat echad min amnu'im l'tochan kulam p'turim. If one of the ones that was counted, a guy began to count, right, he begins his count, he was maaser klayim, and he begins to count them. He doesn't get up to 10. He gets up to 5 through 5 of them, and then one of those 5 jumps back into the corral. So once one of those 5 jumps back into the corral, everybody's patur. Not only the ones who left the corral are patur, the minuim, the ones that are counted already are patur, but even the ones that are in the corral itself will be patur. Why? Because once the animal is manui, once it's been counted, it's outside, it's out of the realm of maaser. It leaves the realm of maaser at that point in time. Right, so then, if you think that a sefek should always have to be maaser, or you have to be maaser on a sefek, la'aser mi manokshah. Let us make it into Maaser Mimono Shach. The E Bar Chiyuvah Shaper Maaser. But if he is a Bar Chiyuv over here, then he's doing it okay. V'ilah Bar Chiyuvah Niftar B'Minyan HaRa'oi. They'll become Patur, right, with Minyan HaRa'oi, with a proper counting. Damarava Minyan HaRa'oi Poter. When it comes to counting, right, then you are Poter by Mamon. So let's explain this case here. So what transpired over here? He has 100 animals now left in the corral. One of them was already counted. So now he's going to take out 10 series of 10. Out of those 9 series of them, the maaser is going to be a good maaser. Of the 10th series, right, so if he's mafrishit, so what's the situation? He wasn't chayav in maaser in that case. Therefore, he's not being poter himself with something that was already maaser, because it was never maaser. Number 2, what about those animals, those 9 that went out? Those 9 that went out are really chayav in maaser when they get 200 animals. No, they said minyan ra'oi poter. They were taken tachad hashevet. They were counted, and since they were counted already, they're patur mimaser. Why don't we say that mimonavshach? Elama must be that misafek. Even when there's mimonavshach misafek, we don't put in maaser. That's why Rabbi rejects his own position. He says we don't say mimonavshach because when as soon as there's a safek, we're not maaser misafek. That doesn't work.
Different.
You're asking all different cases. Before the behema shira goes to the kohen. Okay, a petach hamor is either killed or it says given to the kohen that it's his property, right? Or and then a maser is yours. You have to bring it up to the mishraim as a karban. It's yours, and you must bring it as a karban to Yerushalayim. Why is the chalim a meimar? So what do you have to say? Atziri vadaya mar rachmana, velo atziri safek. That when the Torah says atziri, the tenth, it means that only when there's 10 vadai here, Not when there's a Sefek involved. Often, I mean, in our case, it's three Vadayim, Marfona, whether it's three Sefek. It has to be ten Vadayim and not a Sefek. In our case, the Bechor is a Sefek. The Bechor is a Sefek over here, right? In that case, if it's at Fekot Nichlatim, the deal that he says there, right? If it's really a Sefek, where we would take it back from the Kohen, then you wouldn't allow it to go through Maser. And that was a bite suggestion, that even if Lo Tukfo, even if in that case, but it wouldn't say Tukfo Kohen, it should still go into the Miman of Shach. The bite says, no, that's not true. Why? Because Maser only applies to Vadai cases, does not apply to Sefek cases.
So what I'm saying is mechanics here, that Sefek of any sort would not be Sefek. Two different statuses of
Sefek. Oh, it's levels of Sefek, right? Well, that he might agree to Tukfo. In a case where we Tukfo, the Kohen keeps it, he might agree that it could be Nesar, because there already has a status that he can be Makishin, and maybe it has enough of a status of Vadai that you could put it through. Okay, so now, if we do this again, just to chazer over it, right, we have the Gemara has a question about Tukfo. And that's what the Gemara started with. It's not a question of Tukfo. What's the right of someone who is Tukfo? Right, because someone who's Tukfo, take it with Baisa's Basin and then remove it from him and then re-split it. Or if someone's Tokay, it stays with him and most even Chaber Olav Araya. Right, so we tried to bring a proof to that, we had no proof in that direction. Then the Gemara jumps to the next level of a question, what about Lo Tukfa? A case when there is no Tokay, and he's Magdishit. So Gemara says that'll be influenced by what our din is by Tokay. If our din by Tokay, where he grabs it all for himself, we force him to give it back, then clearly he cannot be Magdishit because he doesn't have enough ownership over here. But in the case where he's tokefe and we leave it with him and then becomes what to make Kabera Lavaraya, can it be Makdishit? The Gemara has two possibilities. One possibility is that Hektesh works like Tifa and therefore it's good. Or the other possibility is that Hektesh works different than Tifa because you need Bershuto. And that's your lacking over here because you haven't actually been tokefe yet. And that lack of Bershuto won't allow him to be Makdishit. So Gemara says, I'll bring you a proof. Tashma, Mitsuta. The case of a bathhouse. The case of a bathhouse, two guys own it. Right? Two guys are arguing about owning it. And here it's Lo Tukfa, case of Lo Tukfa, and they were Makdishit. Right? One of the guys, one of the owners was Makdishit. And what happened? They come in and say they were Mitzafek, they were Mafrishim men. So they're worried about this being good Hektesh. So they wanted to know what the Allah is. So they said, Rabbi Nuna says, I'll bring you a case. I know a case exactly like this of Safek Bukhor. Case of Safek Bukhor is exactly the case of what? By Tukfa Kohen. Even in a case where we say Tukfa Kohen, and we say, therefore, when the Kohen takes it, he keeps it. And we say, Amosim Mechavero Alav Araya. And yet, what do we say? Right? Asurim Bikiza Vavoda.
Even if the Kohen does not
take it. Does not take it. Very good. So, in a case where it's Lo Tukfa, we say Asurim Bikiza Vavoda. That's exactly what you guys wanted to know. In a case of Lo Tukfa, that there's Hektesh, what's the din? Din is Asurim Bikiza Vavoda, which sounds like the Hektesh works. Even in a case of Lo Tukfa, in a case where he could have been a Tokay, in a case of Lo Tukfa, it's correct. Rabbah comes along and says, you're misguided in your whole explanation over here. Why are you misguided in your explanation over here? Because you're talking about Hektesh Mamela versus imposing Hektesh. Our whole question is, can you impose Hektesh Lo Tukfa? Can you impose Hektesh on the item? Over here, the Hektesh is going to exist whether or not you have the ability to be Makdishit, because either it is a Bechor, right, the Tukfa is, doesn't matter what you say now, either he is a Bechor, he's not a Bechor, and if he is a Bechor, it'll be Hektesh automatically. There's no need for ownership, there's no need for a declaration of sorts, right? That is, the Hektesh will happen automatically. So that's the Rabbah's rejection of Rabbi Muna's proof about the case of the Sukkah, the case of bathhouse.
So we're
back with the Tzafek. We don't know, and that's exactly how the Rabbanan acted over here. They said it's a Tzafek. Proof brought to Rabbah's position. The proof to Rabbah's position is that when I have a Tzafek, right, I can throw it into the deer and make it a part of the matzer.
So we see it must be one.
Must be. That's the Tzafek.
That
Tukfo is that you give it back. So it's even when you get Tukfo, give it back. Nevertheless, we say Asurim Begidza Bota. So that's the proof to him. So if Tukfo gives it back, then he can use it from up till now, right? But Rabbah's proof is what? Rabbah's proof is that I have a case in this brisa, that is not comparable to our case, because it's Kedusha Memela.
Right.
Number two is, I can prove to you that, watch, because our case, even if Tukfo Kohen is going to go back, we'll take it away from the Kohen, because I can show you that, because we're going to be Maser with it. If we got Maser with it, it's clear that the Balim have enough ownership to be Maser with it. And nevertheless, you say, Asura, and begin Zabba Abba Dham.
If the Kohen had even something ownership in it,
then we wouldn't let it be Maser. Because he's Pogera Smo, but Malon Shil Kohen. Right, says that's not true. Says that's not the case. Because over here, he could be Maseret Mimanosha. The price that you brought is a proof.
Really?
That right, is nine. Nine plus one. That one, maybe if Tachpoa Kohen, the Kohen would keep it. But there is still a Safek that the Balin have. But nevertheless, we say there's a Safek. It works out itself. Because if there's nine, there is no Maser over here. And the Minyanum we put there. If there's ten, then it really belongs to him. And then the tenth is Maser.
Either way, you'll have to do the same thing with the animal. If it's a Bechor, then it should have gone to the Kohen and put on the Mizbeach, but it's a Safek Bechor, so we don't give it to the Kohen. We wait until there's a Mum in the animal, and then it becomes, would have been the monetary or money of the Kohen. If it's the money of the Kohen, it's a Motzim HaKavel HaLavaraya. The Kohen's got to come and prove it, otherwise you can keep it. On the other hand, if it's Maaser, Maaser also should go on the Mizbeach, but here we're done by the Safek Maaser. So the Maaser goes on the Mizbeach, but you can't bring it to the Mizbeach, so you wait for it to have a Mum. When you wait to have your mum, it becomes the mamon of the balim. So either way, you're going to wait for this animal to get a mum, and then the balim, the owners, will keep it. So that's what the mamonach shach is over here. Whether it's a bechor, whether it's maaser, either way, you wait for a mum over here, and then it'll be mamon balim. Either because it's maaser and really is the mamon balim, or it's a bechor, and it would have been the mamon of the queen, but he has to be motzi mechaver
olav araya. The mamon of shach, he can be maaser over here. Then if I says back, my answer is wrong. Because we never say, when it comes to safek, we never say that you can be master. When it comes to a safek, it doesn't enter the deer to be nesar, because I have a case over here where I show you, right, he brings the proof over here, a case of kafet zechad min amnuim, that one of the counter ones jumps back in. We don't tell him, we say everything's patur, we don't say, count it out, it's safek. We don't say that. Why not? This is exactly the right. Mimon of shach, it should work. Either it'll be poter ben minyan, or there'll really be maser. So why don't we let him jump back in? Why don't we say count them all out? So it must be that whenever there's a safek, we don't say maser. If that's the case, then the brisa is a proof to Rabba. Because then the only way to explain the brisa is betakfo kohen makzirino to. That when the kohen takes it, it goes back to balim, that's why you're allowed to be maser, and nevertheless, asurim b'kisab avodah. So that proves to Rabba, right? That's what the brisa says in the end, that a safek is not necessarily safek. So that's the case, the Braisa is a proof to Rabba. If the Braisa is a proof to Rabba, that means Rabba Menuna's case is not a good proof to our question, and we still don't have an answer to our question, which is that it remains a Safek, which is Takfa. Takfa is, we don't know what the din is by Takfa, but if we assume that Takfa works, right, nevertheless, we still have a Safek whether Kodesh will work, and that's why the Rabbanan were mafrish themselves from the back house, because it would be Safek. They didn't know what to do, and we have no answer to our question.